Could you tell me, first of all, what is it that you're trying to do?
What our technology will do is capture flare gas and turn it into butanol, which is a liquid fuel that can be used to power automobiles.
So how are you actually going to do that?
Well, the process is a bit complicated. First, we take the flare gas, we turn it into what's called synthesis gas. Synthesis gas turns into methanol. Okay, methanol can be turned into acetic acid. That's all well understood. Now we come to the new part. Okay, we're going to take the acetic acid, and we're going to turn it into a substance called ketene, which by itself dimerizes into diketene, which is a four-carbon molecule, which you can then hit with hydrogen and turn into butanol.
And the butanol, how will that be used afterwards?
Afterwards, you can just put the butanol in the tank of your car and drive it.
Are there any changes that have to be made at this point to current cars to use it, or would there have to be some sort of change there as well?
No, a butanol is a drop-in fuel. It could be used in any current car with at least 50% concentration and probably 100% without difficulty. It is more compatible with cars than, say, ethanol is or methanol. Okay, so that's really the great thing about butanol. It can also be shipped in the same pipelines that ship gasoline.
Now, you're starting off looking at flare gas as being the source of what you're going to be using with. How much of a concern is flare gas to the carbon dioxide problem?
Well, flare gas is a tremendous concern, and not just for carbon dioxide, but also for what are known as criteria pollutions, the ones that smoke up the air and stink up the air. And also, it's a tremendous waste of resources. I mean, seen from space right now, North Dakota is brighter than New York City. Okay, the flares in Alberta are brighter than Edmonton. We're actually flaring more light than we're lighting up in light bulbs. So this is a tremendous waste of a resource. And if we could put this to use as automobile fuel, replacing fuel that we get out of the petroleum, it will make fuel much more available and it will reduce pollution of every type.
How far along are you in your research?
Well, we have established the fundamental scientific feasibility of this process. We have done every step individually and shows that it can be done. What needs to be done, however, now is it to be linked up and make it all work together as a unified process. And that's what we're going to do in this project. First, we're going to do it at a small rate of just a liter a day. Then we're going to do 10 liters a day. And that'll give us a pretty good idea what the challenges are to go into thousands of liters a day.
And where are you working out of?
Our company is located in Lakewood, Colorado, which is just outside of Denver.
Now, your company makes equipment that takes natural gas out of flare gas. What can you say about that?
Yeah, Pioneer Energy is making mobile equipment that takes natural gas liquids, things like propane and butane, out of flare gas. A great deal of that stuff is being flared, and it shouldn't be, because in fact, these liquids can be taken out, put in tanks, and shipped off to market. And so we've made mobile equipment that can do that. But that still leaves behind the methane, which is 50% of the flares in wet flare gas and even more in dry flare gas. And you have to have a way to make that into a liquid too. So we've already got equipment for taking the easy part out of the flare gas, the liquids, shipping them off to market. And I think that technology has a lot of applicability for Alberta. But now we're going to develop technology for turning the rest into a liquid fuel as well.
And that would all be done with these mobile units?
Well, the liquids would be taken out with these mobile units. The dry gas that remains would be turned into methanol with mobile units. And then the methanol can be shipped to cities or industrial plants where this more extensive process can be done that will turn it into drop-in fuel for automobiles.
Now, you applied to the CCEMC for the Grand Challenge, and you're actually one of the 24 recipients. Why did you apply to this group?
Well, we heard about it, and we looked at what they were asking for, and we said, we have a technology that will do exactly what they want, and which is particularly applicable to Alberta, where there's a lot of flaring going on. But moreover, it's a place where Alberta can really make a difference for the world, because this is a worldwide problem.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on winning the award.
Well, thank you.